I've named today's message, The Last Bus Stop. The Last Bus Stop. And I'll tell you the reason why. Just over a week ago, I got a phone call, and this person said, so-and-so took a massive heart attack, taken into intensive care. Will you come with me and pray? I said, of course, of course. So here was a person below the age of 50, below the age of 50. His life was hanging on a thread. And I had explained to my friend, I said, look, the most important thing is that this person finds peace with God through Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing, to be ready for eternity. And so, in intensive care, of course, all tubes and everything, the person is not able to speak or anything, but I knew, and we had prayed, and a number of you ladies had prayed as well, that this person would be conscious enough to hear the gospel. And we prayed earnestly that this person could say yes to Jesus. So I shared John 3:16 and explained just in everyday language. And then after sharing the gospel, I said, would you like to say yes to Jesus? Would you like to receive forgiveness of sin? And of course, I didn't know how they'd be able to respond, but suddenly there was a nodding of the head. Praise God. So that's what I call the last bus stop. The grace of God is amazing. That God gives, very often, God gives people another chance, another opportunity to receive salvation, which is the most important thing. It's more important than healing of our earthly bodies, because our bodies will one day give up. Unless the Lord comes before them. Melvin and I always say, come on, we want to be in the rapture, you know? But that's really up to God. He's the one that has that plan. But if the rapture doesn't take place, then the scripture says that we will all die. These bodies will die. But our soul. I was so glad when Christy sent me a text early this morning and said, can we add one more song? When I survey the wondrous cross. Because the key is always at the cross, isn't it? So the last bus stop. We've got a wonderful lady that attends the women's group. Her name is Doreen. And I consider that this lady has the ministry of the last bus stop. And I rejoice in that. I'll tell you why. For many years, she was the community midwife in Stony Burn. And so the whole community absolutely loved Doreen. Why? Because she would be the one when something happened in the family, they would bring over hot soup. Or she would come and minister and do all sorts of practical things. And time again, when someone was at the last breath, the last stroke, they would send for Doreen and she would lead them and say, do you want to receive Jesus? She has this connection. She still does it today, although she's retired, because people know her. This is the ministry of the last bus stop. When God gives a person one more opportunity, and it's in the Bible, in a story in the Bible that we know so well, but I want us to look at it again. In Luke chapter 23, starting from verse 32. You've heard this story, I'm sure you've read it many times, but let's look at it again and marvel at the grace of God. There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. A And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and one other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneering, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Then one of the criminals who were hanging blasphemed him, saying, If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering and rebuking him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This was indeed the last bus stop for this man, wasn't it? Here we have two criminals, two thieves. The punishment in those days were much more severe than today, huh? I mean, crucifixion is the most horrific way to die. Most painful, horrific, horrific way. And whatever they had done, this was their punishment. And as you heard from one of the thieves, he said it was a just punishment. He didn't say, oh, we don't deserve this. It was a just punishment. My goodness. If you had punishment like that today, you wouldn't need so many security guards, I'm telling you. It would be a deterrent. Not that we would wish that. But very severe punishment. And here we have two thieves. And they have obviously both been in crime together, lived a similar type of life. But look at the difference in the response. This is the last dying hour. And hanging there on the cross, this was the most horrific, horrific pain. Where they're trying to push themselves up to be able to get another breath. You know, it's really, really horrendous. But still, in the very last hours of people's lives, they are conscious and they're thinking. And we actually know from the way that Matthew describes it, that initially they were both mocking Jesus. They were initially both mocking Jesus, which is surprising. You can put that scripture up for Matthew that I've got on the list. Even the robbers who were crucified with him revived him with the same thing. So the other gospels tell you that initially they were both joining in and mocking Jesus. But something happened to one of them. One of them had the most marvelous experience and revelation of the cross of Jesus, had the most amazing experience of his spiritual eyes being opened while he's hanging there in his dying hour. This is really supernatural, isn't it? In his dying hour, he has this revelation. So it's 50-50. You've got two people, one repents in his last hour and receives peace with God, and the other person continues in sin. It's hard for me to understand that when you're in your dying hour, would you not want to make peace with your Maker, knowing that there's a good chance you're going to stand in front of your Maker? Would you not want to make peace with God? Would you not want to receive? It's unbelievable that you have 50-50, but this is what we see. One says, one receives Jesus, and one refuses and keeps his door closed. This man was converted while being on the cross. The other one not. Let's look at Psalm 14, verse 1, which says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." The scripture tells us there are many people that are fools. It's true. Why? Because they say unto themselves, there is no God. I can do whatever I want. It doesn't matter. And so they wander aimlessly. Fools. The Bible says, you say in your heart there is no God, you are a fool. And you're going to pay in all eternity for such foolish thinking and action. But the other one, he repented. He repented. He was converted while he was at the cross. Both of them, as they were hanging there on the cross, will have seen Jesus hanging there. Now, even if they had met Jesus before, they would not be able to recognize him, because the Bible says he was so beaten that he was unrecognizable. Right, so they would not recognize his features, but they knew who he was because of what the people were saying. The scripture tells us that the women were weeping. The women were weeping because this was real, real cruel. This was horrendous. Do you know when they made the movie The Passion of the Christ? When we went to see it, there were certain of the scenes, I had to close my eyes. I find it too difficult to even watch. I thought, the Lord went through all of that for me, and I can't even watch somebody that makes a movie of it because it's so horrific. So I can understand that these people, these women would be weeping. I can understand that. But Jesus said that, don't weep for me. Weep for yourself and for your children. Because he was paying the price for us. We are the ones that need saved, not Jesus. We are the ones that needed salvation. He was purposeful in what he did. So this thief looked at Jesus. And as he looked at him, and he heard him speak and said, Father, forgive them. He was in shock because he'd been joining in mocking. He'd been joining in mocking. And suddenly, as he hears the words of the Lord, his heart melts and he realizes this man is so different. He's not spitting back. He is not speaking curses over those that are hurting him. He is choosing to forgive. He's even remembering his earthly mother as he hangs on the cross. He is consumed with others, although he's in the most horrific pain. And then he looks at the inscription, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He realizes this truly is The one that was promised, remember these two thieves, they were Jews, right? Now you could not be a Jew at that time and not know that there was a promise of the Messiah. I think that would be impossible. So he would know that. And he's reading the inscription and the revelation in his heart. This is the King of the Jews. This is the kingdom of God. He has come. He gets this revelation. And so he says, remember me when you go into your kingdom. And Jesus receives him. Yes, today you will be with me in paradise. Some people say, yeah, he didn't have time to repent. But he did actually repent. When you listen to his words, because he actually says, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, verse 41. For this man has done nothing wrong. He is confessing his sin. He is saying, I am receiving what I deserve. I deserve eternity without God. I deserve hell. I deserve dying. He's acknowledging. He's confessing. This is his way of confessing his sin. See, stepping from darkness into light can happen just like that when you get the revelation. Becoming a child of God, being born again, happens like that. Some births in the natural take a long time. The mothers in the room, they know what I'm talking about, right? Some births, whoa, it feels like it takes forever. Other births, some mums have been blessed with very quick. Different times. But this man came to faith. It was a quick birth of the Spirit. He got the revelation. He looked at Jesus and he saw. And he got the revelation. He is the promised one. And he decided to put his trust in him. We shouldn't really be surprised that there would be a conversion, because even later on we read about the centurion crying out, surely he was the Son of God. Even the centurion. Because how can you stand at the foot of the cross? How can you stand and behold the Son of God and not be touched? You see, the cross is a crossroad, and there's a choice to be made. You either receive and get the purpose of God and forgiveness of sin and start a new life in the kingdom, or you remain in darkness and you remain an enemy of God, or you receive forgiveness of sin and become a friend of God. So glorious. The cross is a dividing point. You cannot stand at the cross and stay undecided. The cross is a dividing point. And to some, it's an offense. It's an offense. But this man, whoa, he chose wisely. And he received forgiveness of sin. It's a wonderful story. It's a wonderful testimony of the last bus stop. This was his last chance. And he reached out. No one preached a sermon to him. We don't know if he was ever in a synagogue, if he ever read the scriptures. We don't know. But he saw Jesus. And he saw the love. And he put his trust in him. He reached out. While he was in agony, he reached out and he received. He called Jesus Lord. He called him Lord. He made him Lord of his life. Yes, he only had maybe an hour left in his body, but for all of eternity. He will be and is with the Saviour now, because he put his trust in Jesus. Judas had betrayed Jesus. He was no longer there. Peter had denied Jesus and ran away. The disciples were scattered. The women were weeping. Young John, was a young man. He was around, and he saw what took place. But most of the disciples had run away. Can you see how unlikely it is that here you have a criminal that hadn't been given 3 years of Jesus' teaching? He was the most unlikely person to get saved, wasn't he? He was the most unlikely. This is the message to you and me today. The most unlikely God can save just like that. The most unlikely in the darkest of darkness God can save in the 11th hour, the 59th minute. God can save. That's what why they put this in the gospel. That's why this account is there, to show us. This is the saving grace of God. When it looks the darkest, the most unlikely person God wants to save. And he's called every one of us. What is our job? Our job is to compel. Compel them. Every person has to make their own choice. But our job is to compel. Let's look at Luke 14, 23. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Our job is to compel people. When you see a person at the last bus stop, there's no time to waste. You have to forget all protocol, and you have to tell them that God loves them and it's not too late. Receive forgiveness of sin. Would you like to receive Jesus? You've got to share the gospel. You've got to compel them. What does compel talk about? It talks about having a passion. Putting 100% into it. The people that do well in anything in this world is those that have a passion. I remember when I spent more than 30 years in industry, and when I was successful in a job and I asked for feedback, they said, you had a passion that the others didn't have. Passion speaks to people. If you're going for a job interview, you have to have passion to stand out from everyone else. And if you have a passion, you will have thought about what the strategy should be and what the vision is. And you're able to communicate it. And it comes out from your whole being. We have to compel people. When the Jesus Revolution from Oslo were here, and they were talking to young people, this is the way he preached. He went up like this to get people's attention. And the young people all responded, didn't they? They all flocked forward to receive Jesus. We have to compel whatever it takes. If you have to stand on the chair and shout, then do it. If somebody's going to get saved, do it. We heard a preacher, he said he got saved. One of the reasons he got saved was when he was walking home on drugs and whatever else he was on, people had rolled down the windows of their cars and shouted to him out of the window, Jesus loves you! He said, oh, it really bugged him. What did they mean that Jesus could love him? Come on. And he thought about it, and he thought about it, and he could not shake it. And eventually he got saved, and he became a preacher. You have to compel. This is our job, to compel. The gospel is very, very compelling. But God has chosen to work through his people. to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't dismiss anybody. You might have prayed for somebody all your life and you've not seen any result, but you don't know God is always working. Do not give up. Do not give up. Last night I read this account from the Hebrides, you know, the islands up the north of Scotland. And this man was a farmer. He had been brought up in the church, he knew the gospel, but he didn't want to know God. He did not want to live for God. He was a farmer. He was out with his horse and cart. And the landscape was going up really high, and then there was a huge cliff. And he didn't know that the soil had been eroding away. So when he got up towards the edge, the whole land just fell away into the sea and into the rock. And he said, as he was falling down, he remembered the words from the Bible. He remembered what he'd been taught in Sunday school. He remembered the gospel. You see, there might only be a number of seconds to fall down to your death, but a lot of things can go on in a few seconds. He remembered, and he chose right away to get right with God and to call on the name of Jesus. Jesus, save me, was the cry. Jesus, save me. When the horse and cart went and smashed in the rock, he landed by the grace of God into the seaweeds and was able to walk away. And from that day, he confessed Jesus Christ as his Lord, because he realized his life was hanging on a thin thread. It was only the grace of God. At the last bus stop, he made the right decision. And had God not allowed him to hit the seaweeds, he wouldn't have been able to tell other people. And so the story also tells us this, that even people you prayed for, you do not know the work of the Holy Spirit in their dying moments. You do not know. God is always working. But what we do know is God is a just God. And he also is gracious. But you don't know. None of us know. Is today my last bus stop? None of us know. No matter what age we are, it doesn't matter. You know, we don't know. That's why we have to compel them. We have to compel them. And the gospel is so compelling. It's the good news that Jesus has paid the price for all of our sin, that we can go free. Amen.